And that's it. It's over. This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
We just want our respect. Rob wants his respect. Coach Vogel wants his respect. Our organization wants their respect. Laker Nation wants their respect. And I want my damn respect, too.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Welcome to the end of the NBA season. The Lakers are the NBA champions. They beat the Miami Heat 106-93 to win the finals in six. We are going to talk a lot about it, obviously. I'm Jared Weiss. I'm joined by Mo Dekeel. We've got Andrew Schlecht with us as well. And don't miss exclusive in-depth coverage of this unprecedented sports season, which there are the NBA season's over, but we got plenty more NBA stuff going on. We got plenty more sports going on. And you can subscribe now to The Athletic and save by going to theathletic.com/dailyding, where you can receive an all-access subscription for just $1 a month. So sports are back. You don't want to miss any of the breaking stories on your favorite teams. You don't want to miss every single hot take that Mo's got to drop on a podcast. So you just go to theathletic.com/dailyding and receive an all-access subscription for just $1 a month. So coming up on today's show, the Lakers won the championship. The Lakers won the championship. And the Lakers won the championship. But first, the Lakers won the championship. They beat the Heat 106-93. LeBron James had a 28-point, 14-rebound, 10-assist, triple-double. The guy does not like not having triple-doubles. He does not like not winning Finals MVP, so he did it for the fourth time. Only MJ has more. We're not talking about that tonight, but that is something that I'm sure you're going to be hearing a lot about. So, Mo, let's just talk about LeBron, his singular greatness, without any comparisons to anybody else who wasn't in the series. Take the floor.
Yeah, look, he was amazing. He was amazing in game five that they happened to lose, you know, by one or three or whatever it was by the end of the game. And he was phenomenal tonight. And just overall, like when you look at the whole course of his career, the dude's been to 10 finals out of 17 seasons in the NBA, 8 of them in a row. Like that's extremely impressive. You know, like there's no kind of real way to describe it to people other than he basically has played two or three more seasons at this point on top of his 17 seasons in the NBA. So like that's kind of insane in its own right, and just continues to deliver, brings it every night. I mean, Jared, there's not much more we can say about LeBron at this point.
He's good. I agree that he's good at basketball. And what I really loved about this series.
Thank you, Jared.
Yeah, this is why I'm here. This is what I do. What I really loved about this series is that I feel like he seemed to be more of a willing and even like desired playmaker than ever before in his career. And it's funny because there was that obviously constantly idiotic debate over whether he should have made the last pass to Danny Green in game five. But overall, it seemed like most of the actions were him trying to coordinate the offense, and really was true to the fact that he was literally the point guard of this offense this year. And it was just so much fun to watch them play. Like the Lakers, I felt like were genuinely entertaining throughout this finals. There was an aesthetic beauty to the way that they played. And when their offense would break down, that's when he would go into scoring mode and he would just start driving through four people, get smashed on both elbows while hanging onto the ball somehow and still hitting the layup. I mean, the stuff that he did was just so incredible. But this was definitely, I feel like, one of the more aesthetically pleasing championships that LeBron's won, which is kind of a ridiculous sentence to say out loud.
Yeah, and some of that goes to Anthony Davis kind of being a good number two, you know, and maybe the best, you know, the best fit next to LeBron he's ever had in his career as a second option at being a big man and things like that and able to defend. I mean, the Lakers defense throughout not just the playoffs, but the entire season, Jared, has been really impressive, you know, and it starts actually with AD kind of almost having, I mean, he was the runner up for defensive player of the year. I mean, that's how good he was. You know, Coach Vogel did a great job this season with this team, And the most important thing is he got buy-in from everybody, especially LeBron at the start of the season. And that's kind of the way it worked. And, you know, I know some people are going to be upset. Not Laker fans are going to be upset with this and may not necessarily agree with this. But they've been a fun team to watch all year. And not just necessarily sort of playing on the court, but they've been together. They've been like an enjoyable team. You know, and being in LA, I got to watch the other team and they weren't as enjoyable. And you know, I think this team looked together more often and felt more connected and felt tighter knit and things like that. And I think it showed in everything they did, and it just looked like they were having fun all the time.
I mean, they didn't have Myers Leonard on the bench, so there was a bit of a disadvantage there when it comes to fun factor. But you did see it. The Lakers, they really thrive off of each other. LeBron, obviously, he's found this amazing dichotomy where he's the clear leader and alpha, and yet doesn't really create, like, he creates a sense of hierarchy without a sense of, I guess, pretentiousness would be the way to put it. And all the role players seem very empowered next to him in a way that they don't really around any other superstar, except for Jimmy Butler, which we'll get to in a bit. But LeBron, there's been so much conversation about how we should take back all the criticisms of this roster construction that we had from the beginning of the year and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But a big part of it is that, and maybe this is something we should have seen, but I think LeBron just, he empowered and put into position so many of these guys to thrive in a way that they probably just wouldn't have with any other player in the game.
Yeah. And the people who are saying like, we should take back our criticism. No, that's not going to happen. Because, I mean, look, they built the best team they possibly could. But there were definitely times in the regular season where they didn't look like they had enough. There were times when LeBron went to the bench, this team's offense fell off a cliff. And I don't even know if that describes it properly, Jared. Like, it was terrible a lot, you know. And there was, maybe we should have saw playoff Rondo coming. You know, but, you know, in the playoffs, it was a different story. They were able to get a lot more out of guys like Rondo, like KCP and all of that. Like, I think all of that kind of came together. It's sort of just sort of, it's like the A team. And I imagine like 2/3 of our listeners don't get the reference, but it's kind of like when Hannibal says, man, I love it when a plan comes together, and it all just kind of worked out really well for them. And they got big contributions. I mean, hell, Rondo had 19 points tonight.
I mean, Rondo was, he went 3 for 4. He was pulling up for 3 with confidence. He was driving the lane and hitting great layups. I mean, this was one of the best games that he's played since like 2012, when he was going up against LeBron and putting up 40 points and having all sorts of crazy nights. I mean, he didn't have to take on that big of a role, so his numbers weren't so extreme, but he looked competent and confident in a way that competence is the wrong term because the guy's a super genius, but he looked in control of his game in a way that we just haven't really seen much of from him over the years. And that's something that I guess we just should expect stepping up into the playoffs. But some of the things that he was doing out there throughout this playoff run were just a little bit out of character, even for him at his best.
Yeah. And you know, this was Rondo stepping up and filling the voids that he needed to. And it's also Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had a great, you know, game tonight, 17 points. He had a great game two. Was it game 2 or game 4? I can't remember. They've all mushed into one. But like, you know, this was the Lakers team, right? It was the two top dogs and then everybody else. And then it was just on a different night, somebody else would step up. Some nights it was Caruso. Some nights it was Kuzma. Danny Green. Yeah, easy, Tiger. There was a lot of different guys stepping up and really kind of stepping up to bat for this team. So I think, you know, this was a great, great run for him. You know, this isn't, I think there's still areas this team's going to have to work on to improve in the future. But overall, man, like, hey, they've earned this one, man. Let them have fun with this.
And so just to quickly go back to what you were saying before about Anthony Davis, he's, you know, LeBron has played with several all-star bigs before. He played with Kevin Love for a while. He played with Chris Bosh. He won championships with both of them. And with Anthony Davis, there seems to be a balance with each other that they never quite really mastered that balance of allowing those previous all-star big teammates to play their game in the way that AD is able to play his game. And I mean, how do you feel like they achieved that? Is it just that LeBron's at the point of his career where he's just, I guess, more able to play off of his teammates than he was before?
Yeah, I think there's some of that. I think LeBron recognizing how good AD is and saying like, hey, this is a guy that can carry us on nights, you know, and there are nights where I won't have to be the top scorer. I don't have to be the ultimate playmaker and do everything. Listen, the Cleveland teams that he took to the championship, LeBron had to do everything for that team on the offensive end. Like, he recognized with AD, I don't have to be that guy. I don't have to do everything every night, you know, and probably reminiscent a little bit of his Miami days, you know, when he had Wade and Bosch as well. So I think, you know, there's some of that in how it comes together. And just also LeBron's older and wiser, right? Like, he's getting there and he kind of understands that sometimes he does need to back it off. I mean, this is part of the thing, you know, they were pushing for the Davis trade. This is the reason why they wanted to bring this man here, because LeBron knew this is a guy I can win a championship with.
So at the end of the day, I mean, it seems crazy to be looking ahead, but is there anything that we saw that makes us think that they couldn't continue to do this for several years now in the future? LeBron is still playing at his peak. AD seems to be finally coming into his own as an elite player. Most of their supporting cast still has plenty of time left in their careers. Is this, you know, does it look like the Lakers are starting something big here?
No. No, it doesn't. And everybody needs to pump the brakes here, because here's the thing. And this is the most important thing people have to remember before we start talking. This is a dynasty and all of that. The West is stacked, and it's going to be even more stacked next season. You know, we're talking about pretty much the same teams are going to be in the playoffs. OKC might drop out, assuming they're going to try to tank. But, you know, the Golden State Warriors are hopefully going to be healthy and back again. You have teams that just missed the playoffs in New Orleans, Memphis. You have a lot of young teams and teams that are up and coming. Denver is going to be a beast. And I think they took a leap in the playoffs. I think, you know, we can make all the jokes we want to make about the Clippers, but we don't know what they're going to look like next season. They might be, they should be a formidable foe as well. Like, just right there, that's three or four teams off the bat that can, you know, compete for the title. And I think Dallas is going to be a team that can make a leap. There's just too much up in the air for us to say, hey, this team's a dynasty. You know, LeBron's also getting up there in age. You know, there were times where he didn't look as explosive as, you know, we're used to and things like that. And this is going to have been an exhausting experience, 3 months in the bubble. You know, he's going to be a little bit tired. I won't be surprised if he slows down a little bit next season to save himself and re-energize. And we don't really know when next season is going to begin, but I don't think this is necessarily, I wouldn't look at this as like, this is the start of something. Now, could they go to the championship again next year? They have just as good as odd as all the other top teams, but I don't look at it as a definitive, like, yo, they're making it. This isn't the Golden State Warriors. They ain't making the championship the next 5 years.
All right, well, that's Mo DeKeel guaranteeing 5 more titles for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Now, let's flip the script here. Let's talk about the Miami Heat. And so Jimmy Butler, he was good. He had an historic series, and then it ends with a dud, 12 points in almost 45 minutes. Only took 10 shots, got to the line 3 times, had 2 turnovers, still managed 8 assists. But It was just a game where Jimmy, from the beginning, could not put a stamp on the game. And the Lakers seemed to kind of finally have him figured out. And then to a degree, you know, Jimmy was maybe a little bit worn out at this point and just didn't have much left in the tank. And I mean, Jimmy even said after game five that I left everything out there. There was nothing left in the tank. And it looks like he just wasn't able to quite refuel as much as he needed to. But Mo, how do you come away from the series feeling about what Jimmy Butler did within this series and then how he's, you know, kind of, I guess, redefined himself in the NBA?
Well, one, I'm not even going to acknowledge game six for Jimmy. You know, everything he did in game five was phenomenal. He played, what did he play, Jared? Like 47 minutes?
47 minutes and 12 seconds, I believe.
Yeah, okay. So he basically played the entire game. Willed that victory for this team. That was without Dragic. That was with a hurt Bam Adebayo. You know, I think ultimately, you know, he came into this bubble, really. And you know, we probably had Jimmy Butler on the same tier as the guys like Paul George, you know, in that second tier of not quite a superstar, but a star. And you know what? He's elevated himself into like, no. He's a superstar. This is a guy on the right place, right time, right team. He's perfect for the Heat, and the Heat are perfect for him. And I think Spo even has made comments like that as well, just kind of like them maxing out his fierce competitiveness. It's been like a perfect marriage. And I think he showed us that, hey, he deserves to be in the top 10 conversation, you know, in terms of players next season, and you can't count him out. And I think ultimately, like, his playoff run was phenomenal, and just look no further than what he did in game five of the finals.
Yeah. And so they were without Goran Dragic after he tore his plantar fascia in game one. He finally came back. He played 19 minutes in this game. He shot 2 for 8. Actually had 5 rebounds, basically. He was asked after the game, playing on that foot, how was the pain? And he said his response was, which pain? Because the heartbreak was just as bad as the... What he ended up revealing was a pretty excruciating amount of pain that he was experiencing in his foot. And so between that and then Bam Adebayo played, he was injured for and out for a couple games and clearly played hurt the previous game. And this game, he ended up with 25 points and 10 boards and 5 assists, which and 9 free throw attempts, which by the box score is an elite Bam Adebayo performance. But frankly, he didn't really look like he was really playing at his best until later in the second half when it was a massive blowout and things were getting a little bit easier. But how do you feel like the Heat could have fared had they had been at full strength and they weren't both missing these guys and then kind of playing with these guys not being 100% or even close to it?
Going into this, before the guys got hurt, I had it Lakers in 6. I think the Heat could have pushed us to 7 if they were fully healthy. I think it would have been a much tighter series. I think even some of the games the Lakers won that were pretty comfortable, I think would have been a lot closer. I think, you know, you can see when Dragic and Adebayo are healthy, like their DHO game is probably better than anybody else in the league. And that opens a lot of things up for them. That creates opportunities for Duncan Robinson to get some threes. That creates some opportunities for Tyler Hero to attack when the ball is kicked out to him and he's attacking the rotating defenders versus a static kind of situation. So I think ultimately it would have been a lot closer. Maybe it goes 7. Like I said beforehand, I picked the Lakers in 6, but it would have been a much tighter series. Like, we would have felt a lot more nerve wracking and maybe would have had some more amazing moments.
And I mean, maybe the last game wouldn't have gone down the way it did. I mean, it would have been nice if this was at least competitive. And hey, there was at least a moment where this is something I'd actually texted to somebody during halftime, was that Spo should try putting Kelly Olynyk out there with Bam Adebayo just to see if that can help them with both the boards and spreading the floor. And it actually worked at the end of the third quarter and they started to come back. But it was obviously just such a blowout at that point that... I mean, they ended up, the difference was about 13 points at the end, but obviously that's a fool's gold there. But I'm disappointed that Spoelstra didn't try to, you know, mix something up a little bit different there at the end. But overall, Eric Spoelstra had a pretty remarkable series with all the different ways that he used Jimmy Butler, the way that they would invert their offensive scheme to make their guards roll men, to trust Tyler Hero to be a playmaker, in lieu of Goran Dragic being hurt. Duncan Robinson, I think he really expanded his game throughout the series as well. It feels like the Heat, I mean, for obviously it's a disappointing ending, but they really left it all out there.
There's not enough we could say about the Heat's heart. You know, I think this game, game six, was just a product of them all being completely gassed and not having enough energy to really match the Lakers' energy for this game. And everybody's going to say, like, oh, they've played the same amount of games. So there's a big difference when, you know, you have to take on the load for two of your star players. And I think that just slowly wore them down and got to them. But look, man, Miami is going to be here for a while. You know, they're not going to be a dynasty either, but they're in the mix now for the next few seasons. You know, Bam Adebayo, his third season, Tyler Hero as a rookie, Duncan Robinson's second season in the league. Like, you know, they're going to be around. So they're only going to get better as well as these young guys improve. So, you know, you got to tip your hat to them. A lot more respect. I know Jay King has a ton more respect for them. And you guys should go listen to Basket Buds after you're done listening to Jared and I here on The Ding, because I'm sure they're going to get into that. But ultimately, this Miami team, they shocked everybody. And they were unafraid the whole time. And I'm excited to see this team grow the next few years.
Well, at least we had one Boston reporter giving out hot takes about the Heat, because I mean, I loved everything about the Heat, and I've been covering the Heat ever since the Celtics season ended, because I usually cover the Celtics. Covering the Heat's been this incredible experience, just because these guys, their commitment to being part of this like team collective, and their commitment to embracing the competitive side of the game and the intellectual challenge of the game, like the way they talk about it, is just so much fun to watch and to document, and then just to see the way that they pulled it off for so much of the series. I mean, the Lakers, I felt like from a talent perspective and from a physicality and athleticism perspective, were just dramatically ahead of where Miami was throughout the series. But Miami's persistence and all those things that make up Heat culture, whether it's conditioning or trying to create confusion on offense or closing out no matter what on defense, all those little things added up to the Heat being incredibly competitive in a series where, after their second and third best players got hurt, they shouldn't have even had a chance to. So it definitely ended up being an incredibly satisfying finals in the end. So I guess as we head into the offseason and we have no more games to cover, what is the thing from a basketball perspective you're going to really cherish and take away from the series?
Man, it's just kind of the competitiveness. You know, I thought both teams were extremely competitive and locking in. I thought the Lakers game four, their defense was phenomenal. And that's something that's really kind of special. I thought Miami's performance in game five to come back when they're down 3-1 and everybody basically thinking this thing's over and they're not going to win this game, and then finding a way to pull that one out to, you know, just impressive. And ultimately it was a hell of a finals, man. It was a fun finals despite the injuries. I really enjoyed it. I mean, how about you?
It was awesome. I mean, and I documented it plenty, but one of the things I really loved about the series was that we had coming into it these two teams that started with two bigs the entire year, and then it ends up being tons of small ball and even micro ball, and then we're seeing guards being used as role men to get to the hoop or getting rebounds. It's like this series had everything from big to small ball, inverted pick and rolls, of everything we can imagine. I feel like it was a real X and O geeks dream to watch this series. And it's a shame it had to end, but unfortunately all great things do come to an end. And Mo, this is going to be it for the Daily Dings post-game coverage, but we'll have more Daily Dings as we go throughout the offseason with plenty of stuff ahead of us here. So before we go,
I want to jump in. I'm going to cut you off here a second before we go. I do want to commend the NBA for pulling this off, you know, and I'm sure everybody's going to say some, you know, it's going to be written about and all that. But let's be honest, a lot of people didn't think we'd get us finish the season when they suspended the season in March. They didn't think we'd be able to finish when we got to the bubble or even keep COVID away from the players and the coaches for the most part. You know, I thought they did a phenomenal job putting this together. And Jared, let's just kind of look back at this whole year that basically started almost a year to this day. We had the Hong Kong China tweet. We had the David Stern passing away on New Year's Day. We had the Kobe and Gianna Bryant tragedy. The COVID shutdown. I mean, 4 months off and then into a bubble for 3 months. Just a freaking amazing, like, some tragic, just a weird set of events that led to this. But, like, I'm just shocked we finished.
You know, one of the things that we're going to hear tons of people talk about, how there were no positive tests for players and for the coaches. But the important thing that people, most people don't realize because it doesn't get talked about, but it was something that was mentioned in my COVID story with John Krasinski that you can find on The Athletic. If you subscribe for only $1 at theathletic.com/dailyding, had to squeeze a whole plug in there, is that there were positive tests inside the bubble. There were support staff that were coming in and out of the bubble that were living remotely or lived in the Orlando area. And there were people that were testing positive amongst those groups. And so what makes it so remarkable is that they somehow did not spread to the players and to the teams. And they somehow managed to create these protocols so that support staff that was coming in and out of the bubble managed to isolate and contain those situations and not have it spread. And it is an incredible accomplishment to not just keep COVID out as people think, but for the fact that COVID technically broke through those barriers and they managed to keep it isolated to the point that it didn't spread. I think that's even a more incredible accomplishment, Mo.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And everybody should go read your piece with John Krasinski about how they're able to kind of pull this whole thing off.
And one last thing to say on Goran Dragic, for everything that he did, since we're just throwing out random things at this point of the podcast, I guess I have to plug myself again. Back in July, Tim Cato, our Mavs reporter, and I reported that the Heat thought they had reached an agreement to trade Goran Dragic to the Mavs. And the deal ended up falling apart. They were trying to make way so that Butler could come. They managed to get off of the Whiteside money, and they were able to make the trade happen that way while keeping Goran Dragic. And could you imagine this Heat team? I mean, this Heat team would not have made the finals if it weren't for Goran Dragic. And it's such a shame that for everything that he did for them throughout the season, especially in the playoffs, that he wasn't able to really be a real part of that finals run was really disappointing. So it certainly makes me hope that the Heat are able to keep this team together and run it back next year, because they really found something special in the postseason, something that they can, you know, that could make them one of the best teams in the league throughout the season next year.
Absolutely. It's something that they can definitely have carry over from this to next season.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy Butler said after the game that they'll be back. He said the guys are all ready to get back into the gym and keep working so they can come back next season. Assumedly, we're going to have a season at some point in 2021. And until then, we hope you'll check out the rest of our podcast coverage and written coverage over on The Athletic. So for Andrew and Mo, I am Jared Weiss. And don't forget about all of the other basketball shows that we have across the network. We still have your favorite shows like The Athletic NBA Show. We've got No Dunks. We have Tampering. We have House of Strauss. And we still have over a dozen team-specific shows available from some of your favorite Athletic beat writers. So don't forget to follow on the app so you can get notifications for new episodes. And you can utilize the podcast episode comment section where you can talk about why Alex Caruso is now officially the GOAT. And if you're not a member of The Athletic, you're in luck, because you can get all of our podcasts ad-free, plus some fantastic writing across all major sports, all for a super low price. You get your subscription by going to theathletic.com/dailyding. You never know when these promos end, so you better get there soon. I want to thank all of you for joining us on the Daily Ding for what was literally the longest NBA season ever. Mo, take us out of here.
Ding, ding.